Today's reading is from the book of Leviticus, from chapter 25, reading verses 1 to 25. While Moses was on Mount Sinai, the Lord said to him, "Give the following instructions to the people of Israel. When you have entered the land I am giving you, the land itself must observe a Sabbath rest before the Lord every seventh year. For 6 years you may plant your fields and prune your vineyards and harvest your crops, but during the seventh year the land must have a Sabbath year of complete rest. It is the Lord's Sabbath. Do not plant your fields or prune your vineyards during that year, and don't store away the crops that grow on their own, or gather the grapes from your unpruned vines. The land must have a year of complete rest. But you may eat whatever the land produces on its own during its Sabbath. This applies to you, your male and female servants, your hired workers, and the temporary residents who live with you. Your livestock and the wild animals in your land will also be allowed to eat what the land produces. In addition, you must count off 7 Sabbath years, 7 sets of 7 years, adding up to 49 years in all. Then on the Day of Atonement, in the 50th year, blow the ram's horn loud and long throughout the land. Set this year apart as holy, a time to proclaim freedom throughout the land for all who live there. It will be a jubilee year for you, when each of you may return to the land that belonged to your ancestors and return to your own clan. This 50th year will be a jubilee for you. During that year, you must not plant your fields or store away any of the crops that grow on their own, and don't gather the grapes from your unpruned vines. It will be a jubilee year for you, and you must keep it holy. But you may eat whatever the land produces on its own. In the year of Jubilee, each of you may return to the land that belonged to your ancestors. When you make an agreement with your neighbour to buy or sell property, you must not take advantage of each other. When you buy land from your neighbour, the price you pay must be based on the number of years since the last Jubilee. The seller must set the price by taking into account the number of years remaining until the next year of Jubilee. The more years until the next Jubilee, the higher the price. The fewer the years, the lower the price. After all, the person selling the land is actually selling you a certain number of harvests. Show your fear of God by not taking advantage of each other. I am the Lord your God. If you want to live securely in the land, follow my decrees and obey my regulations. Then the land will yield large crops, and you will eat your fill and live securely in it. But you might ask, what will we eat during the seventh year, since we're not allowed to plant or harvest crops that year? Be assured that I will send my blessing for you in the sixth year, so that the land will produce a crop large enough for 3 years. When you plant your fields in the eighth year, you will still be eating from the large crop of the sixth year. In fact, you will still be eating from that large crop when the new crop is harvested in the ninth year. The land must never be sold on a permanent basis, for the land belongs to me. You are only foreigners and tenant farmers working for me. With every purchase of land, you must grant the seller the right to buy it back. If one of your fellow Israelites falls into poverty and is forced to sell some family land, then a close relative should buy it back for him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Fascinating words from Leviticus chapter 25. We're going to have a sermon with pictures today, so you don't have to look at me, but if you want to look outside and see creation in 3D, that might be even better than watching these pictures. But let nature speak to you. God may want to speak to you as much today through what you see as what you hear. God loves this creation. He cares for it very, very deeply. There's some words in Job 38, the point of the book where God eventually speaks, where he talks about his joy in all creation, and not just his joy, but the joy of the whole range of heavenly beings. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? And it goes on to say, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Just imagine that moment of creation, all of heaven exclaiming at the wonder of everything that God has done. Psalm 19 tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. But their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. And Paul, the early Christian missionary, wrote that what can be known about God is plain to us, because God has made it plain. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. This has been the testimony of Christians through all generations. If you want to know what God is like, creation will tell you. And God cares about the creation. I love the last few words of the book of Jonah. We haven't got time to go into the story of that book today. But in the end of the book, God talks about his concern for the city of Nineveh. He says, "Shouldn't I have concern for the great city Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" You see, God cares for the livestock. God cares about how we farm. Now, we human beings have invented more and more intensive ways of farming, which are deeply cruel. And God cared from the beginning that we farm well. Praise God for movements today which are speaking to us prophetically and telling us that we need to change our ways. We read in the book of Genesis that when God created human beings, he made it our role that we should take care of the earth. Now, there's a bit there that talks about us ruling over the world, and human beings have certainly done that. But what we didn't see was that we were to rule in the name of a God who looked at his creation and who saw that it was good. This is repeated. And in the end, God says that it is very good. So he speaks to human beings and he says to us, take care of everything that I have made. Now, sometimes Christians have got this wrong. Perhaps often we have. I've heard it said that we're going to heaven and therefore we needn't be bothered about things like global warming. But the truth is that God calls us to pray that the kingdom of God will come on earth as it is in heaven. That's the prayer. We pray it just about every Sunday. We care about this place that God has made. He made the land, he made the seas, and he cares about how we are polluting them. He cares about plastic. Now, in the book of Leviticus, we read part of it today, God gave his people in that generation many practical instructions about how they were to take care of the land. One of those instructions was the Sabbath day, which was there to protect humans, to make sure that everybody, no matter who they were, no matter how rich they were, should get a day of rest. God cared about that. But it was also to care for the livestock. God wanted the livestock to get a day off too. The working animals should not be overworked. God cares about these wonderful creatures that he has made. And he tells them too, take care of the land that I'm giving you. The Sabbath year meant that once every 7 years, the earth was not cropped. It was given a chance to rest. It needed that time of recovery. And God has put this rhythm of work and rest into creation, which by and large, we human beings have completely forgotten about. And that's one of the reasons that the world is suffering so, so much. According to Romans chapter 8, all creation is at the moment groaning. I've a really sad story to tell you about that picture. Some vandals took a paving slab and dropped it on the eggs in that nest. I can't express the anger and sadness that I feel looking at that picture, which should be such a picture of beauty. But maybe that's something of what God tells us to feel, because we are made in his image. The creation is groaning. It's waiting for human beings to rise up and to be different. And we who have the Spirit of God in us are called to be those people. This October, as we think about harvest, let's glory in the wonderful creation that God has made, because it is so beautiful. But let's say, what are our responsibilities for God's world?